Here, you can use my mic.
We'll get real close.
Can we get that microphone on, Riley?
Check, check, one. Hey, there I am.
There you go.
Wow, it's so good to be here. So good to see you guys. Thanks, Harvey. And we did. We sprung it on him. We just showed up this morning and kind of made a bit of a surprise trip to celebrate my grandpa's life in this season. He was 40 years missions overseas, Africa, in multiple continents. He founded multiple ministries and was just a powerful man of God. And so we couldn't miss it. So we flew 16 hours from Jerusalem, hallelujah, and we made it here. And funny enough, last time we were here, it was Mother's Day. Isn't that weird? I think God has something about family in this house, and God's raising up a family in this house, and that's really powerful, because what we like to do is we like to spread the family of God through the earth, and that's what we're doing in Jerusalem. And so we've been working on a lot of things, and I would say one of the main things we've been working on is family. And funny enough, last time I was here, I made a joke on Mother's Day that maybe next year we'd be celebrating Mother's Day for real. And Caitlin and I are excited to announce that we are pregnant. We've got a baby. So that's just been a huge surprise, praise God, and a huge blessing. In our family and growth. And so that's a big update for us. We've also been, busy in Jerusalem doing a number of ministries. Both of us are now teaching and playing the harp, which we never thought that would be something we could say we could do, but it's a thing. And we are doing regular watches, usually 2 hours of prayer and worship a day, sometimes four, sometimes six. And we intentionally pray for this region, the North Americas region, for a huge portion of that. And so lifting you guys up every single day and believing just that the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out in America. And we've seen some amazing things, Asbury Revival, and just God moving in America, in really, like you were just saying, like sometimes we get locked in to what's happening right in our circle, but God is moving in amazing ways. And so we've been able to witness that and see God answer prayer. We've also been organizing All Nations Convocation. I'll try to keep it short. But basically, we bring in all nations, over 140 nations, to Jerusalem. And we do a 10 days of global 24/7 prayer. Yeah, it's crazy. It's from Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, to Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish New Year. In Jewish culture, they call that the 10 days of awe. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of fasting. It's a time of prayer where they just come to God and ask him to bring renewal into the nation and into their hearts individually. And so we gather the body of believers there and join in that. And it's just amazing to see, all the Messianic Jews join with all the Gentile nations together in this one new man expression. One new man is from Ephesians 2, and it's that expression that the Apostle Paul was talking about when Gentiles and Jews come together in Jesus. Yeah, come on. Come on, amen. You can clap for Jesus. And so that's what we do. I know she's just like, oh, hallelujah, come on. I'll start dancing up here soon. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, it's been amazing to see fruit. It's been a lot of hard work, but we're not afraid of hard work, and God's been helping us through all of it and blessing us too. And so we just wanted to say thank you guys. You guys are number one supporting church, and it's a huge help to us because Jerusalem is ridiculous. We're just talking about it. We we went out to eat here, and it was like, oh my gosh, the food's, well, I'm a little biased because I grew up here, but I'm like, the food's better, the cost less. I'm like, Lord, how is this not the promised land? I just don't get it. The Lord's been helping me a little bit, showing me that his ways are not my ways all the time. So we just wanted to thank you guys and speak blessing over you. Can I pray over? Awesome. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for Life Center. I thank you that you have called them to be a witness to your glory in the earth, Lord. I thank you for all the fathers in the house today. God, I thank you that you are breaking off the orphan spirit in this region, Lord, and you are releasing a spirit of fatherhood, a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, we belong to you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for each heart. I thank you for each life. I thank you for Arby, Kathleen, the leadership. I just pray your blessing. I pray that your leadership would take hold, Lord, and just lead them into glory. Lead them into this next and beautiful season you have for them. I thank you that they are bearing fruit in the nations, Lord. Even if they don't necessarily see it right here in Jerusalem, in all nations, this church is bearing the fruit of the good news going forth to the ends of the earth. And so I just pray that they would know that in their hearts, that the hope of glory, the destiny of the kingdom of God would just be birthed inside of them, Lord, and that they would know and sense your delight in their offering, your delight in their sacrifice, and that they would just reap the beautiful fruit of their love, their prayer, and their service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Michael. Yes, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Caitlin. Awesome. That was a very nice surprise today on both ends, to see them and to hear their wonderful news. So, God's good. Always and everywhere. And in your prayers, remember Pastor Jeff, they're entering into Mongolia, getting ready to head out on, I think, an 18-hour bus ride today into parts of Mongolia that have never heard the word of the Lord, never had the gospel presented. A fairly dangerous place for them, so keep them in prayer over the next couple of weeks as they travel around Mongolia with the team. And just keep their faces before you as you go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to dismiss the kids for children's church. Ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the East Wing. If you'll take them over and sign them into class, please, parents. And make sure you get them after church. That's also very important. Now, there's no potluck today, I don't believe, so they might get hungry. And also, if you have children 0 to 2 years of age, the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. You're welcome to go in there for a little more privacy if you like. And as always, you're welcome to sit right here in the service. Happy Father's Day, men. Woo-woo. Brand new fathers, a little bit older fathers, maybe not yet, future fathers, young men. One day we'll be fathers, but happy Father's Day. Day we stop and pause and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And when I think of fathers, I think of the Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, in whose image and likeness we were created and fashioned and formed, and who I'm supposed to be modeling myself after. Some days I get halfway close. Some days I get a quarter close. But I don't think I've arrived yet, so I keep pushing on to be a better father, even though we now have an adult child, which is really hard to believe, since we're barely adults ourselves. At least how we act. But when I think of Father's Day, I think of our Heavenly Father and whose image we're supposed to imitate or be ambassadors of. And how did God treat me? But God loved me so much that he gave his most valuable possession, his one and only Son, that I might have a future in him and with him in eternity. That's the Father's love towards us. I will give everything of value to me to have you in my presence, to have you with me. And how do we reciprocate that? How do we show that to those around us? What is our role as a man? And we're going to talk about the role of a man a little bit today. I believe it's much more applicable than just to us men. So ladies, this isn't time to check out and get on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever you look at or knit. Or if you're online, don't shut the TV off. Stay online. I believe it's applicable to all of us in the body of Christ, but we're specifically going to be directing it toward men. Okay? So three roles of a man that are prominent that we should have: to provide, to protect, and to promote. So we're going to look at these three aspects as a father. You can apply them as a mother. You can apply them as children to your friends, your siblings. We're looking today as a man: provide, protect, and promote. What do you think of when you think of provide? Food, clothes, house, hopefully fresh water, right? The basic, the necessities. Provide for my family. I have a job. I make an income. I provide. Gentlemen, it's much more than that. Much, much more. Bringing home the bacon is not enough. It's much more than just that. We have many elements that we are to provide for in our family. I think of this friend I have. I haven't seen him in a while. He moved away, but he used to go hunting in the fall. He would shoot an elk or a deer, butcher it with the skin still on, bring it home, drop it on the kitchen table, and say, "There you go." My wife would kill me. I'd be laying there next to the elk. But in his mind, I provided. There you go. In his mind, he did, and for him and his wife, it worked, so whatever. But that would not work for me and my wife. No, I would be like either dead or out. But what works for you? Your provision doesn't stop, but here it is. Your provision should carry on and continue and sustain as we begin to look into the process here. So it's not just bringing home the bacon, but we must provide for body, soul, and spirit. Much more than just the physical. And within our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So as men, we're providing for the family a healthy environment, hopefully, to grow our body, soul, and our spirit, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Some instruction in doing so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, some great instruction here that tells us to take care of our spirit, soul, and body. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So as men, women, we are to provide a roadmap for how to live life, how to endure difficult situations and circumstances. And this gives us a roadmap to do so. Teach our children, teach those around us, provide for them instruction, testimony. God is faithful. God is true. And he will do what he said he will do. And even in the midst of trial and hardship, rejoice. Pray continually. How well do you provide an example of that in your life? Rejoicing always in every circumstance. Praying continually and giving thanks in every circumstance. Thank you, Lord, that I'm having a bad day and not a really bad day. I'm not there yet. I'm trying to get there. How well do you provide that example in your life? Part of provision is environment. In a healthy environment, you need food, shelter, water, and space. That creates a healthy environment where things can grow and develop and thrive. How well are you taking care of your home environment? How well are you taking care of those around you in your friend groups, in your workplace? It can expand your environment a little bit. In your church family, in your worldwide family. Don't minimize it. God's big. Grow your environment. Who are you influencing? Within that environment, one of the important ingredients is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I think we could expand that to say, wives love, children love, everybody love in this manner. Those around us as Christ has loved us. This word love here broken down means to cherish, and it means to nurture. To nurture and to cherish. What do you need in an environment for us spiritually to grow and develop? We need a healthy dose of love. According to Oxford's dictionary, nurture is this: to care for and encourage the growth or development of, to bring maximum potential. Do you nurture those around you? Do you care for and encourage and bring maximum potential? That's what we're supposed to do. And some of you may be sitting here, well, I'm not a father. I'm not a mother. I don't have kids. I've got news for you. You were created in the image and likeness of the Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty. Whether you have your own biological children or not, you should be fathering, you should be mothering those around you that God has entrusted you with in your circle of influence. Have some spiritual kids. Have some community kids. Don't get creepy about it. But as much as their family will allow in a public setting, right? Create an environment where they can grow and develop. Create a safe place where they can share their thoughts, their feelings, their dreams. Early on, before I knew a lot of kids at school, I would go to games and I would get the roster every time and I would look at their number and learn their name. And after the game, I would say, congratulations, good job, whatever their name was. And they would look at me like, who are you? And how do you know my name? And after a while, they're like, that guy's kind of cool. He's always cheering for me. He always shows up for me. He's involved in my life. You don't wait for them to get involved in your life. Go get involved in their life so that they can grow and develop and reach their maximum potential and who God's created them to be. Because some of them have no one in their life nurturing them. They have no one in their life cherishing them. And I believe it's our responsibility as the church to be those spiritual parents. If nothing else, pray continually for them. Rejoice and celebrate with them. You can do that with them. You can be the loudest guy in the stands. I even go cheer for Cubs. I love Cubs. I love Rams too, although. Show up in their lives. Cherish, according to Oxford Dictionary, to protect and care for lovingly. To protect and care for lovingly. The kind of love we need in our environment, it cares for, it protects, it encourages, it inspires, it develops to maximum potential. And that's what we are called to in our portion of provide for. It's not just housing, it's not just food and water and clothing, but much more than that. Enveloped in love, to provide, to care, to encourage, to inspire, to develop to maximum potential. That's what we are called to do. So check yourself. How is your provision in these departments? You think about it a little further, you think about husbandry and like a farmer or rancher who's raising, and he's not just looking at this year's crop. He's not just looking at, I have one cow. I hope it makes it my whole life. He's looking at his one cow going, how many generations of cows can I produce with this cow? And how many cows can I have out of this cow that can later have calves and can build and grow and develop my herd? When I started with one cow and one bull, and now I have 300 cows in one bull and a bunch of little calves and a bunch of little yearlings. But our provision is to look generationally beyond us, not just for today, not just for now, but beyond us. What am I doing for building blocks of success for my children, for my wife, that are going to grow and develop and perpetuate throughout the generations, that are going to bring increase? Because it's not just about today. Think generationally. And along the journey, we need to cultivate the hearts around us. As a farmer cultivates the soil, it takes some work to cultivate soil, unless you have machinery, right? When I was in Africa, it was amazing the work they could get done with a shovel and a pickaxe. They would dig entire foundations for 20,000 square foot buildings, and it's all by hand, with a wheelbarrow and a pickaxe and a shovel. It takes some work to dig and to develop. We have to be willing to engage in that process of doing the work to dig and cultivate a space to where those around us can grow and develop and reach their maximum potential. It's on us, right? They can only launch from the platform we leave them. Your spouse can only launch from the platform you leave him or her. Your children can only launch from the platform you build. But it takes a lot of hard work. So we need to provide space so they can discover who God created them to be. They need to know who they are in Christ Jesus. One thing we've worked really hard at is not to make our children just like us. In hearts after God, yes. I don't personally feel a pastoral call on any of my children. So I don't push them towards that to be like me. I could say, well, you have to be a hunter, you have to be a guide, you have to be a builder, you have to be a pastor, because that's what I do, so that's what you're going to do. But that doesn't provide space for them to discover who God created them to be. So like non-negotiables, yes, we're going to follow the word of the Lord. This is a non-negotiable area of life. Whatever you do with your life, obey God. Because he will take care of you. He will sustain you. And his son Jesus is the only way to life everlasting. So provide space. Provide space for discovery. Provide a place for development. How do you develop? How do you grow? How do you train? Each of our kids are very different. They need three sets of parents. And we have to be all three. It's a good thing I have lots of personalities. Kathleen has to work at it because she's pretty sane and got it all together. But for me, it's easy. But recognize in your children what their needs are, what their love language is, and treat them accordingly so they can develop into the man or woman God has created them to be. Don't treat them all the same. Don't make them all like you. Because we're all made in God's image and likeness, and I look around the room and I don't see anyone that looks like me. One looks pretty similar. Not you, Jim. But God made us individual, unique for His purpose, for His glory, to be who He's called us to be. And the last step in that is deploy. Discover, develop, and deploy. Get them ready to send them out. When Ridge was graduating last spring, people were like, "Aren't you scared? Aren't you nervous?" We're like, "No." Like, we're excited for him. Not to get rid of him, but excited to see him go and become a man and take his responsibility seriously and take his part and role in life and do well, because we knew he had trained and developed and he was ready. If he wasn't ready to leave home, I would have been scared to death. Ah! He was ready. It wasn't scary, it was exciting. Exciting for him to go and experience and enjoy life and create his own household and create his own family eventually and become a man of God and really discover who he is in Christ Jesus, not who he is in his parents in Christ Jesus. That should be an exciting time. So discover, develop, and deploy. Ephesians 6. Did I already read this? No, I didn't. I read the other Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We are to provide training and instruction in the Lord. That's part of our mandate, part of our job. Give them something to be obedient to. Give them some direction. It drives me crazy when I talk to Christian people. They say, "We don't really teach our kids. We just let them decide for themselves who they're going to be and what they're going to do." That's not what the Bible teaches. It says raise, train, and develop in the ways of the Lord. Teach them, instruct them in the ways of the Lord. It doesn't say let them decide for themselves who they will serve, which they will one day do. But as for you, your responsibility is to teach, train, and develop in the ways of the Lord. And then when they are older, they can make their own decision. But our responsibility is heavy, to provide for them so that they may reach their maximum potential. Teach them to obey and listen to wise instruction. The last step in provide for them a great example to follow after. You be the model. You be the example to follow after. Another one I often hear is, "Well, don't do as I do as I say." Does that ever work for anyone? No. Be the example. Show them how to do it. First step in that is you watch me do it. And then you help me do it. And then I'll watch you do it. Teach, train, instruct. First let them watch you to see how to do it. I was helping my youngest daughter the other day. And she's like, "I don't know how to do this." I'm like, "I realize that because you've never done it. That's why I'm showing you how to do it. So you can learn how to do it." She goes, "Oh, okay." She watches me do it, and then she's like, "Move, Dad, I got this." And then she can do it by herself. There are many things they don't know. They need to see someone do it, watch it. They need to have assistance, help them do it. And then generally you can turn them loose and they can just go about their business and do it. Ready for the next phase? Protect. So in protect, you need to have at least 3 ARs, 10,000 rounds. No, protect is not about guns and ammo. It may become physical protection, but there is so much more to worry about than guns and ammo and what we are supposed to protect, what we are supposed to be the guard of in our families' lives, in our communities' lives. Don't just stop at your door. Protect your community. Protect your church. Protect reputations. Protect character. Do you ever hear somebody just, oh, did you hear what Arby did the other day? And rah, 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 rah. Oh, yeah, me too. And I think that way about him too. And oh, you do too? And we jump on that bandwagon of gossip, slander. No, what we should do in that moment is shut it down. Stop it. Protect until proven wrong. I'm going to protect and defend you. And I'm not going to believe it, and I'm going to shut it down. And I don't need to go tell you, hey, so-and-so said this about you, but I protected you. You don't need to hear that from me either. Because I know I did what was right when I called it on the carpet for what it was, gossip, and said, no, we're not going to talk like this. And I know that individual, and I don't believe they would do this. So you need to keep your mouth shut until you talk to them directly. Have you talked to that person? There's a lot of protection we need to do. We need to stand up for what is right. The Word of God calls us to stand in the gap and stand up for those who are downhearted, who are unfortunate, who are mistreated. Keep them safe and healthy, not necessarily happy. You don't need your kids to be happy. You don't need your spouse always to be happy. I mean, happy wife, happy life has a lot of merit to it. But what you need to do is keep them safe and healthy. What you need to do is set up good guards and parameters for your marriage, for your parenting, for your household, for your community. That's why Kathleen and I get so involved at the school. What's being taught in our school? I hear lots of complaints about the curriculum being taught at school, but I've not met anyone that went in and actually read the curriculum being taught at school, except for my wife. We go into the school, hey, we heard this is being taught. Is that true? We want to see the curriculum. We look through it. Okay, it's a lie. It's not being taught. Don't just protect your household, protect your community. We have a whole bunch of kids being taught. What are they being taught? What's being shared in class? Get involved in your community. Protection should go outside the walls of this building, should go outside the walls of your home. As God's servants on this great earth, we're to look after all those he entrusts us with. This is my valley. This is where I live. This is where I call home. And I want everyone in it to have a better life. I want everyone in it to experience the joy and the love of the Lord. Guard the purity and righteousness of the family. I remember, I think our son was in sixth grade the first time he got invited to a co-ed sleepover, birthday party. It's like, no, not going, ever. That's my responsibility as a parent. Not happening. That's part of us guarding. And of course, our son didn't realize, probably as a sixth grader, why we made that decision. We're just going to hang out with a bunch of friends. Not a big deal. Maybe not that time. Maybe not the next time. But eventually it becomes a problem. And it defiles the purity and righteousness of the family. guard and protect the call of God on your children's lives. You know, you can disqualify yourself from the call of God on your life. Think about King Saul, anointed king over Israel by God. He goes and defiles himself by being disobedient to the Lord from his call as king over Israel. And then the Spirit of the Lord left him. He was still king. He eventually died not long after. But the Spirit of the Lord left him. Protect and guard your family, those around you, so that the call of God is not defiled upon their lives, so that they walk in his presence and with the guidance of his Spirit all the days of their lives. That means we as parents have to make hard calls. I know a lot of sugar is not good for my kids, so we limit their intake. It's like, oh, Dad, it's just one candy bar. It's just one bowl of ice cream. It's just one soda. Right? Brielle's looking at me. But it's my responsibility to guard her health, her wellness. And sometimes I have to be the bad guy and say, no, that's not for you. Protect. Some other areas we need to protect, more than just physically. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. We have five big compartments of our lives that need protected. Mentally, what's getting into them mentally? What are they engaging with? What are they hearing? What are they listening to? Who's speaking to them? What's going through their mind? Physically, we talked about some of that stuff. Emotionally, how are their emotions? What's upsetting them? Too much time with friend A or B? Not enough time with friend XYZ? What do they need that keeps them emotionally stable? That's good for them? That's positive for them? What do they need spiritually? What do they need intellectually? What's being taught and instructed to them? Who do you let your kids sit under for instruction? Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, 23 through 27. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So this talks about protecting our hearts, protecting our eyes, protecting our ears, protecting where we let our feet wander, where we go. There's much to be thoughtful of and protective of. When I'm out here in the front country, I'm probably a little more careless hiking around than I am when I'm in the back country. Because I know it's a long ways out on a horse with a broken leg. Are you watchful of where your eyes go, of where your ears go, of where your feet go? Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we protect against conforming to this world. Rather, let our minds be transformed to the mind of Christ so that we can know what God's will is for our life. Here's a recipe for protection. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7.
Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you want some good protection in your life to guard your heart and your mind? Don't be anxious about anything, but instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in your heart, make your requests known to God. If you don't know how else to protect, right there's a simple recipe. Pray and petition with thanksgiving in your heart to God what your requests are. Make them known to Him. This is what I need. It's a pretty simple start. And the last we're going to look at is promote. I promote my wife. I take a picture on her anniversary. I post it to Facebook. Sometimes we think that's all it is. I posted a photo. It's our anniversary. I posted a picture. I love you. It's her birthday. Promote is so much more than that. Promote should propel and push them forward, make them feel confident in what they're about and doing. Promote takes love, takes care, takes attention, takes affection. If you don't promote those around you well, somebody else will, and they may not have a good heart in doing so. They may love them, but it won't be an appropriate love. They may care for them, but it won't be an appropriate care. They may give attention and affection to them, but it may not be appropriate attention and affection. But we're called to promote a godly love, a godly attention, a godly affection, and godly care to those around us. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start your children off in the instruction and training and teaching of the Lord. That's promoting well. And when they become old, they won't turn from it. Our job is to start them in the right direction. Create an environment where your children, those around you, learn to fail forward. Learn that failure is a building block to success. Failure is not final, but it's a building block to success. Learn to fail moving forward. We like to let our kids fail at home. I want them to have all their failures at home while they have their support team, they have their nest to return to. I want to give them opportunity to make bad choices. Not make them do every one of my choices until they're 18 and then set them loose. Hey, you're 15, you're 16, you got a little more responsibility, a little more freedom. Start making some of your own choices. Some of them I thought were good choices, some of them I thought were not so good choices. And then we have conversations, then we have more training and instruction. Let your children fail at home where you can help pick them up, put them back together, continue them on their journey of life. Own your mistakes. Part of promoting is learning to own your mistakes. Teach them to own their mistakes as you own your mistakes. And when you own your mistake, then you make it right. You go repent, apologize, ask forgiveness, move forward in love. Give clear direction. Give clear direction. Just do something with your life. Okay. No, give clear direction. Give clear instruction. What do you need? Call out who God says they are. Don't let them decide who they are. Call out who you see they are, who God created and formed them to be. That's one thing I love, bringing the seniors up here at graduation time. just praying over them and seeing what God would say about them. And it's, I don't know if it's awesome for you guys. It's, I don't come up here with a prepared word for any of them. It's just like, what's God going to speak to each of these individuals as I pray over them? And I love it. And it's like, wow. And some of them, I'm like, I don't know about this one, God. You might be wrong. And then a couple years go by and like, it's happening. It's like, yes, Jesus, you're awesome. But speak into their lives who God says they are, who He created them to be. Don't let the world tell your children who they are. Because they're God's first. And He created and formed them for His purpose. Speak identity into them. Who does God say they are? I tell my daughters often, you're a princess of the Lord Most High. You're chosen royalty. I've got to give my daughter a heart. Half a heart. She completes it. Speak identity into who God says they are. So provide, protect, and promote. I'm going to close with a couple of stories, just so you know what that looks like. Provide, protect, and promote. Quite a few years ago, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I tricked my wife into going bear hunting with me again. I say again because it was 18 years prior to that, the first time she went bear hunting with me. And I had provided the perfect environment. We had woods, we had bears, we had bait, had a nice comfy cedar tree to sit next to. So there we were. I assured her I would protect her. And I would have with my life. We're sitting there watching the bait. It's about 70, 80 yards down in the timber. And pretty soon her fingers start digging into my leg. I'm like, okay, she sees something, obviously. I'm scanning the woods. It's pretty big open cedar. I can't see anything. And her grip tightens. And she's sitting right here next to me, and it tightens. I'm like, okay, she obviously sees a bear. I'm like, what? She's like, bear. I'm like, where? She's like, right next to me. I'm like, really? Because like the wind's blowing uphill, there shouldn't be anything coming, but this bear didn't care, obviously. And I turn my head and look slowly, and my wife's head is silhouetted in black. This bear is like flower pot close almost. It was really close. She says this close, but I don't know. So she's squeezing my leg and very intensely saying, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. And at this moment, I realize it has two little furry cubs with it about this big, about 15 pounds or so. And I'm like, well, we can't shoot it because that's an illegal bear to harvest. And she's, of course, getting more intense. And I'm like, just be still. It'll go on. Because I've dealt with a lot of bears. I know their nature. She's not angry. She's not upset yet. Keyword. I'm just be still, and I pull my rifle and lay it across her lap so it's pointed at the bear. And about then, the bear sees us, and it jumps back a few feet. And its two little cubs run and go up the tree right in front of us. It's now at about 15 feet. There's two little cubs looking down at us off a branch. Like, what are you guys doing? And Mama's over here now. Remember I said, not upset yet. Now Mama's upset. She's chomping her teeth and huffing at us, and it was a little intense, but it was, she retreated instead of advance, which with my bear knowledge said, we're okay. Like she just wants her babies and wants to leave. And Kathleen's not so much bear knowledge. It's gonna eat me! And she's saying, shoot it. And I'm like, we can't shoot it. I'm trying to explain to her the laws of hunting. Anyway, it didn't go well. It ended well, but it didn't go well. I provided the environment, and I would have protected her. She wasn't sure about that in that moment. My gun probably looked really small in that moment. And she definitely didn't feel promoted.
that we were okay in that situation. If we miss one of these steps or one of these elements, this is what happens to those around us, and they're freaking out inside, and they don't know how to react or respond, and I can't do this. It's too much. But when we provide, we protect, and we promote well. Fast forward to last fall, our youngest child, 10 years old, entering her first hunting season. We go out opening day. We're sitting there in the dark and have wolves howling all around us. We venture out at daylight, and she gets her buck and her bull. She's got them both there. She's all excited. And we're a couple miles from a truck at this point, and I'm like, well, do you want to walk back to the truck with me? And she's like, oh, no. I'm not leaving my elk here for the wild animals. So she has the confidence, like, not only are we in the woods, have wolves howling around us. She's like, I'm staying to guard and defend what is mine. I'm like, well, it's a couple miles. Like, it's going to take me an hour to get back to you. Sure you're okay with that? She says, yep. So I load her rifle and hand it to her and say, okay. You can shoot a bear, a lion, or a wolf. Nothing else. And she sat there with all the confidence in the world for an hour and 20 minutes, whatever it took me to get out and back to her. But if we provide, we protect, and we promote well, they have the confidence and the assurance to say, no, this is mine. The Word of God declares it. And I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not backing down. And I'm not giving up what is rightfully mine. And I'm not going to freak out when things get intense. I'm not going to freak out when it looks hard or difficult. But I'm going to stand on your promises. The promotion piece of that is so important. That we would promote those around us well, that they would go out with all boldness and confidence, power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted to us. Say, not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. It's fathers, mothers, children. Provide, protect, and promote those around you, whether they be your physical kids, your church kids, your community kids, your extended family, whatever it is, your friend groups, provide, protect, and promote so that we can move forward as a body of believers and receive all that Christ Jesus has in store for us. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for your direction, God, for your example, God, of what a good, loving, and kind Father is. God, I just ask your blessing upon all the fathers here today, God. God, that you would show us the error of our way, God, where we are not measuring up to who you've called us to be. And God, that from this day forward we would work on becoming that man of God that you've called us to be. God, walking in all power, God, in authority, God, that you've entrusted to us. God, that we would go forth and lead by example, God, of your good nature, of your kindness, of your gentleness, God, of your mercy and grace. God, that we would love those around us well. God, that we would create an environment in which they could grow and develop. God, that we would protect, God, all that the enemy would try to strike against. And God, that we would promote. God, that we would call out who you say they are, those around us. God, that they would walk in the power and authority that you've given them. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your blessing, God, upon those as they travel in and out today. God, that you would keep each of us safe. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to grab your Connect card out of your folder, have you fill that out if you would like. If you have any prayer requests or testimonies, we'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also on the back, my decision today, a few next steps and information there. If you want to fill those out, we'll pick those up in a moment as we receive the morning tithe and offering. And just a quick reminder, remember Pastor Jeff and his team in prayer is there in Mongolia. Yeah, that's awesome.
Go spread the word of the Lord to people that have never heard it. It's got to be exciting and scary all at once. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithe and offering. And you do have an envelope in your folder if you want to use that. Also, if you're one of our online givers, you can give at tlc4me.cc. So we'll say a blessing over the offering, then we'll receive it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, God, for your many blessings and provisions in our lives, God, and we thank you for the opportunity to return to you. God, a portion of our income, God, our increase, God, and we just thank you for our gifts, talents, and abilities to do so. God, we ask your blessing upon it, that you would multiply it, God, to the use of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a few moments, I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. If you have